Our next guest has spent time in the NFL and the CFL with the Calgary Stampeders. He is now a Kansas City Chiefs analyst. Mark Boerker joins us again on the show, Sportsnet 650. How you doing, Mark?
Doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing awesome. Thanks for joining us. I know it's the first time we've talked to you since Super Bowl week. And I read today, it's kind of our sister station. We double booked you. You were on in your old haunt in Calgary today.
I was. Not a surprise that you guys are reaching out to me after the news that broke yesterday around the NFL. A lot's happened, obviously, since we talked the week before the Super Bowl. Obviously, the Chiefs going on to win the Super Bowl, and then this pandemic we're living through, and now Patrick Mahomes signing a long-term extension.
So yeah, it's the highest, the biggest contract in the history of sports. I mean, it's nuts to everybody, and you know, even you who was a professional athlete playing in the National Football League. I wonder. So here's my question for you, Mark. When was the moment for you that Patrick Mahomes did elevate officially to, hey, this guy is the new face of the NFL? Where was the moment for you where you were watching this guy and realized, yeah, he's probably doing stuff that we have not seen before?
That's a good question, because, you know, the first game he ever played, his rookie season, he sat all year, and then he played against the Denver Broncos, came out, you know, as a rookie in week 17, and played the last game of the season because, you know, the Chiefs had rested some starters going into the playoffs. Was a pretty special game, I think, when you just look at the rookie not having played all year long and coming in and that final week and just lighting up the Broncos. But I think, for me, it goes back to, you know, his MVP season almost 2 years ago now. I think it was the Pittsburgh game. I think it was week 2 or 3, I believe, where he made some just absolute ridiculous throws into seams and into windows that you just looked at. I think here locally we looked at that, our eyeballs just popped open and said, okay, everything we've seen in practice, everything we've seen in the preseason is coming to fruition with this guy. And then, you know, he just continued that second year, his first year as a starter, you know, on his way to the NFL MVP, and he just kept racking up touchdown pass after touchdown pass. And I think it was after that year, really, that nationally and probably globally, that people started looking at it, that he's the face of the NFL. And I think probably the one signature moment to me was, I think overall looking back on it, was the AFC Championship game against the New England Patriots that the Chiefs ended up losing in overtime. But Tom Brady went down and scored, and the Patriots went down and scored. And I don't remember exactly how much time was left on the clock, but there was about minute 40 seconds left on the clock, and the Chiefs needed a field goal to tie. And Patrick Mahomes led a drive at that point down, obviously, to set up a Harrison Butker field goal. And, of course, the Chiefs went on to lose it in overtime, but it wasn't anything that the offense or Patrick Mahomes did. It was on the defense, you know, during that time. I think that was probably one of the moments where, after that AFC Championship game loss, that people were really starting to talk about him being the face of the NFL, because it was a situation where everybody all of a sudden wanted to change the overtime rules, right? Because the Chiefs didn't get the ball in overtime because the Patriots quarter touchdown. Mm-hmm. They just wanted to watch Brady and Mahomes battle it out, you know, and keep that game going. So I think that probably is the moment when the nation and the NFL and probably the world started looking at him as the new face of the NFL.
And sometimes it takes, you know, the media and the fan base longer to commit to the idea this guy is going to be special for anyone. You've been on the practice fields and OTAs and, you know, private workouts. When players are playing with each other, how quickly can you tell, oh, this guy has the potential to be something amazing?
I think you can tell pretty quickly. Most players recognize talent really, really quickly. And I mean, I'll go back to my time and my short stint in Green Bay during the preseason in 06, before I returned to Calgary in 07. I was with Green Bay and signed there as an unrestricted free agent out of Kansas City and spent most of the preseason with them. And that was Aaron Rodgers' second year, I believe. But Brett Favre was still the starter. And so, you know, you could just see, like as an example, I could see Aaron Rodgers had the hit factor. You could just see, you know, the talent you can see the ease with some of these guys that are superstar players. It's just that the ease that they do things and the skill that they have and how easy they make it look that you really recognize that somebody's going to be special. But I think players represent, you know, really respect each other, and I think you can really start telling talent from a player standpoint. You know, you mentioned the media and fans and things like that. They don't always get to see everything that goes on, right, during a practice or during scrimmages or training camps and all that kind of stuff. And I know a lot of them are open to the media and things, but you just don't really truly tell until you go back and start watching the film during practice and go, wow, did that really just happen? Did that guy really just make that throw? Or did that guy make that run? Or watch this athletic move by the linebacker on the ground he covers to get there when it looked like he had no shot at getting the running back or you know, deflecting the pass or anything like that. So I think it's just it's a mutual respect on the field, and guys can identify it pretty quickly.
Mark Boerichter, our guest here on Sportsnet 650, Andrew Walker and Bick Nizar. We're talking about Patrick Mahomes, the Kansas City Chiefs. What is what's really interesting here too, and it's good and bad. I understand it's professional sports, but when you sign a deal like Patrick Mahomes just did, when you're coming off a Super Bowl, yes, you are still celebrated, but all of a sudden, the conversation changes in terms of pressure. Like what is expected now? Like you know, Aaron Rodgers only has the one championship. Drew Brees only has the one championship, and it's really hard to win, Mark. And at the same time, people look at those raw numbers and they say, you know what, those guys are so good, it's a little disappointing. It's going to be disappointing if Patrick Mahomes retires with one championship. So what is expected now in Kansas City in terms of raw numbers?
Well, I think from a fan perspective here, and the players have brought this on themselves a little bit with the social media and the hashtag run it back, because they're ready to go back, you know, back-to-back championships here. And from a fan perspective, everybody's now that, you know, you waited 50 years in Kansas City for your second Super Bowl win, right? It was 50 years. Now you've got the coming of Patrick Mahomes, and everybody I think around here goes, okay, they're going to be back to several Super Bowls and win several championships. And you just mentioned how hard it is to win. It's a very difficult thing to do to win a championship. But I don't think the pressure is really on. I think this is a situation where, especially on Patrick Mahomes, this kid has got the it factor. And we talked about this before the Super Bowl that week, I remember. And just the it factor that he's got, how he is in the community, the type of person he is. He's a perfect fit for Kansas City. He's a perfect fit for the organization. He's a perfect fit with Andy Reid as the head coach. And as long as Andy Reid is the head coach here, which now that they've got Patrick locked up for a long time, I don't see Andy Reid retiring anytime soon either. Even after his first Super Bowl win, I think, you know, there's not necessarily going to be the pressure to win championships. I think that's the expectation. But I think as long as they can continue to build a good core around Patrick Mahomes, both on the offensive side and the defensive side of the ball, they are going to be in a position to contend for a long time. And I think once reality kind of sets in for Chiefs fans and how hard it is, and they sit back and look after the Super Bowl win and said, man, it took us 50 years to get here, but they never had a quarterback of that caliber. You know, they had Len Dawson then back in the day, who was, you know, obviously a Hall of Famer. But in today's game, they've never had that quarterback that they just have the ultimate confidence in. And I think that's really what it is. I don't think it's pressure. I think everybody just has this confidence that they have an opportunity now to go to the Super Bowl every year.
You mentioned just his connection to the community, and I think a lot of people were surprised. Wow, like a 10-year extension, 12 years. He likely would have been there anyways, but it's surprising that, you know, he took the onus to say, oh, yeah, I'll do it now, and I'm going to commit to 12 years of my future right away in Kansas City. Just talk about that connection that he's got to the community, and I guess why he felt it was important to him to do this right away.
Well, I think first and foremost, it's almost the pressure is almost on him to do it or to start asking for it when you're a league MVP one year and a Super Bowl MVP the next. You know, you start looking at it, and the Chiefs technically had 2 years of control with this being his fourth year and a fifth year option. But I think it was important to him to get it done. I think, you know, as I mentioned before, the situation that he came into here with Alex Smith as a starting quarterback, and I think Alex Smith deserves a lot of credit as well for how he handled Patrick Mahomes and and understanding that this kid's got a ton of talent. We just talked about, you know, players identifying other players' talents. I think Alex knew it and said, you know, here's what I do. You don't have to follow me, but this is what's been successful for me. And Patrick did it and soaked it up like a sponge. And then it's the situation he's in here. This community's embraced him. You know, he's the first quarterback this team has taken, and he's just been in a situation where, with Andy Reid as his mentor, everything has just clicked. And it's really hard to describe just being around the team and being around those guys, what a perfect match it is. And he's embraced it, and he's embraced the community. He started a foundation here. He's been extremely active in the community. I think he just likes it here. I think it's a situation that he knows he can win here. And when you're in that situation and you know you can win and you have won, you know, it's easy for guys to go out and say, okay, I'll get this going and then go get paid somewhere. But I think he really believes that he can put his stamp on this franchise as the greatest quarterback that's ever played for the Chiefs. And a lot of people probably already put him in that category, but he wants to leave a legacy here in Kansas City and for this organization. I just think it's kind of been this perfect fit and perfect mentality that he fell into this situation from the opportunity the Chiefs went up and got him and drafted him, and all the pieces to the puzzle have fit in place with him.
Now, quarterback is one of the few positions, Mark, where, hey, a guy like Patrick Mahomes, you know, he stays healthy. You can play in until you're 40. He could very easily, finish out the extent of this deal. But for running backs, skill position guys, all of that, there's constant turnover in the NFL. You know that. So I do wonder, what is the challenge going to be for Kansas City, building around this guy for that length of time if you want to put together a culture and a dynasty? And there's been, hey, great quarterbacks in the NFL that don't have a chance to do what, say, Tom Brady has done in New England. Because, you know, a few years from now, there's not going to be guys like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and things like that. Do you feel the Chiefs as an organization have, like, know how to do things? They have this plan for not 2, 3, 5, but 7 years. Is that a strength of theirs? What's their biggest challenge?
No, I think it's a strength. One of the things when Brett Veach became a GM here a couple of years ago, after John Dorsey left, he's been pretty open and honest, even with the media, about their plans and different scenarios that they have and working through those plans and sticking with those plans. I think if they, the magic wand, if you wave the magic wand and say, okay, we're going to continue to draft well every single year and put guys around them, things are going to be great. That's ultimately what you want to do. You know, you're going to swing and miss on some draft picks here and there, but, you know, they're going to, Andy Reid has become so creative on offense that they can do some things, and he can overcome a lot of things where talent may be lacking in certain positions potentially, you know, down the road. I personally don't see that happen. I mean, they went out a year ago and got Mecole Hardman. A lot of people thought that was an insurance policy because of the Tyreek Hill situation in the offseason. But he had a tremendous rookie year, and quite frankly, didn't even play all that much. When you really look at it, and when you got Sammy Watkins on one side, and he's most likely going to be gone after this upcoming season, Mecole Hardman's the young talent that's going to play an important role. Travis Kelce's, you know, getting up there a little bit in age. He's not anywhere near done playing, and he's extremely effective and probably the best tight end in the league outside of George Kittle. Those two are in the same discussion, but they're just going to have to continue to make the right moves. And I think one of the things that this team has done is they went out and made a bold move a year ago to get Frank Clark and traded a lot of draft picks and paid him a lot of money to get him in here, but understood that he was the missing piece that they needed defensively to you know, really get this defense over the top, along with Tyrann Mathieu. They've made a couple big splashes, but they haven't really overspent so far under Brett Veach. Time will tell on that, but they haven't overspent in free agency. They're going to build through the draft, bring in a lot of young talent, and they're going to have to in the upcoming years of this contract, more so in year 5, 6, 7 of it, because you're going to need some cheaper talent, and that comes through building through the draft, and I think that's where their focus is.
Hey, Mark, we appreciate it, man. Good catching up. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, fellas.